Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
One more running back behind Moore with a slot to his left and tumble in the play.
They
on
got
the
it.
Snap.
They got
they
it.
Think the Patriots have it.
Looks like Wilford
recovered by Vincent Wilford.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, everyone does love Pete Shepherd, but you're going to have to love Brian Lowe, and Brian Lowe only today. How's that for third-person reference as we kick things off? I am Brian Lowe here with the Fantasy Lowdown for the next hour. Yes, Pete Shepherd usually is in this spot, and I join him sort of off to the side for an hour every Thursday, but Pete will not be around today, so I'll be handling the load for the next hour. We're mostly talking fantasy football, but we'll be talking some reality football as well. We expect to get the Patriots injury report back any minute now, and that actually does pertain to both fantasy football and, you know, reality football as well. Tom Brady was at practice today, at least at the beginning portion when the media is out there. I was out there as well, and he was doing stretching, doing some running, and he threw the ball a little bit in a drill. There had been some reports. There was one specific report before practice today that Brady would not practice, and he was there, and we saw him out there. You know, media's only out there for about 10 or 15 minutes. The team goes for about 2 hours, so unknown yet exactly what his status is and what his status will be for Sunday, but I think we might have some news on that right now. Do we, Matt?
Tom Brady listed as limited participation with a left shoulder.
Okay, so
only two people out of practice were the same two as yesterday, Vollmer and Mankins.
So don't start Sebastian Vollmer or Logan Mankins in your fantasy league this week.
If you have the fantasy offensive line,
all right. Don't go with that.
Week.
Okay. Well, thank you, Matt. So Tom Brady limited with a left shoulder injury. The limited part is no surprise because, you know, once that report came out earlier that he was not going to practice and we saw him out there, you know, the expectation was, well, maybe he'll be taking it easy. He'll be listed as limited. But seeing that left shoulder injury in there, that is some news. That is news on Tom Brady. So he does have a left shoulder injury. How extensive that is, whether it's going to affect him this Sunday, more importantly, whether it's going to affect him 3 weeks from now, or I should say 2 weeks from now, when the Patriots embark on their first playoff game, their first of what they hope is two or three playoff games, then we'll find out, you know, really what the we won't really know much until that time comes around. Does Tom Brady play this week? Well, I think that's truly up in the air right now. In my opinion, the difference between being the first seed and the second seed in the playoffs is not important enough to risk Tom Brady being out there and risk losing out on Tom Brady down the stretch in the postseason. We've seen the Patriots lose home playoff games each of the last 2 years. Now, that's not to say that they don't want to be at home. It's not to say that home field is overrated. But they're going to have the bye, which means Brady, if he doesn't play this week, will have 3 weeks between games, last week to their first playoff game. And, you know, I'd rather be the number two seed and have a healthy Tom Brady than be the number one seed and have Tom Brady at 50% in the playoffs. So, you know, maybe that's just me. But that's what we're looking at right now. So certainly that affects fantasy, and that affects reality. Email us at webradio at patriots.com, webradio at patriots.com. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. So let's talk fantasy for a bit, shall we? We are going into Week 17. Most leagues, I think it's safe to say that more than 50% of fantasy leagues are all done by now. There's a reason why most fantasy leagues suspend operation at the end of Week 16, and that's because of some of the things we're going to be facing this week, such as Aaron Rodgers not playing, most likely. Maybe Tom Brady not playing. You know, if this is a meaningful game, maybe we see Tom Brady. If it's not a meaningful game, maybe we don't see Tom Brady. Other situations that are a little more, or I should say a little less cut and dried. For instance, Tampa Bay at Atlanta is at 4:15, but Detroit at Green Bay is at 1 o'clock. If Detroit wins at 1 o'clock, Atlanta has nothing to play for. They're the number six seed, so maybe Michael Turner doesn't play extensively.
They got to play for pride, though, after this past Monday.
Well, pride is always there, but is pride going to – what's pride going to do for them? Listen, I agree with what you're saying, Matt, but I would use the word momentum. I wouldn't use pride. I'd use momentum.
I was just about to say that.
Well, I said it first, so I get credit for it.
You got it, Pila.
I get credit.
You got
me. I would say momentum and the feeling of going into the playoffs on a positive note has to be considered prevalent on a football team. Now, it can go both ways. The Patriots went into last year's postseason on, what was it, an 8-game win streak, and they lost their first game to the Jets. So there's no be-all, end-all meaning to the word momentum. But you're right. If the Falcons go in with a 2-game losing streak and losing to Tampa Bay, of all teams, that will probably put a little bit of a negative spin on their playoff chances. And they do have a game wild card weekend. So I would say that there's that balance that coaches have to go through, and as it turns out, fantasy owners have to go through, in the sense of if Atlanta is locked into six at the time that they kick off at 4:15, and Michael Turner's your workhorse, you know, he's a veteran, he's been around 7-8 years, a lot of wear and tear on those tires. You know, what doesn't it make sense to give him a break, considering they're going to need him a week later? Now, if they had a bye, if they knew they had a bye, then maybe, you know, you have that other week, and maybe that changes things a little bit. But that's something that fantasy owners need to realize. If you're playing this week in fantasy football, that means, most likely, it's the championship game. It's the title game. There's nothing after week 17, so if you're still alive and still playing meaningful games, it's got to be the title game in your league. Or maybe a third place game. Maybe there's a consolation round, and maybe you have pride on your line on the line. But it really is championship week. So let's say you've had Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest seasons a quarterback has ever had, and a guy that has carried you through the fantasy season 2011. And now all of a sudden you're staring at a possibility of Aaron Rodgers not playing a snap on Sunday. Now against Detroit, I could see him being out there for a couple series. Maybe a quarter. But Aaron Rodgers is your guy. And he might not play. What do you do? Well, that's what I'm here for, the Fantasy Lowdown. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. I have a feeling that Aaron Rodgers will not play at all, and it will be Matt Flynn. Now, Matt Flynn is probably better than your average backup. We saw what he could do last year. In that game against the Patriots that turned out to be the final game Green Bay lost until 2 weeks ago against Kansas City. Matt Flynn, pretty solid player. He's done pretty well when they've needed him, when they've needed to call on him. But I'm not feeling too comfortable about picking up Matt Flynn if I'm an Aaron Rodgers owner and going into championship week with Matt Flynn. I'd rather have someone like, Carson Palmer playing in San Diego. Carson Palmer had a really solid game against San Diego. It was a Thursday night game 5-6 weeks ago. If Carson Palmer's available and you can still make waiver moves, I'd go for him. Now, hopefully, you have heeded advice that I know I've mentioned here on the Fantasy Lowdown and you've probably seen elsewhere if you have some websites or some resources that you like to use as it pertains to fantasy football, and that is make sure you're secure in a backup position for Aaron Rodgers because of this situation. I mean, theoretically, they could have gone into last week with nothing to play for, and if that would have been the case, you would have been looking at 2 weeks without Aaron Rodgers. And if last week was the championship game in your league, you'd have no Aaron Rodgers if he was going to be sitting. So, you know, if you were smart, you have someone like Carson Palmer. Heck, Kyle Orton. Wouldn't even go against Kyle Orton if you picked him up going against Denver. You know, maybe there's a guy like Alex Smith. You saw that Alex Smith is playing St. Louis this week. And, you know, San Fran still needs to make sure that they secure that number two seed and get a bye. You know, maybe Alex Smith is a good guy to pick up this week. And maybe those guys are still available. You know, I don't know about Matt Moore necessarily. Not really big on Mark Sanchez. But a guy like Carson Palmer, a guy like Kyle Orton, I'd probably take before I went after Matt Flynn. And you just have to make sure you're protected in a scenario like this with Aaron Rodgers. So the Green Bay situation, it's more than just Aaron Rodgers because Now, you can't sit everybody. You know, you can only dress 46 guys, so it's not like the Packers can sit their entire offense and, you know, Greg Jennings is already out. Let's sit Jordy Nelson, Driver, Jones, all these guys, Finley. No, you can't do that. But no Aaron Rodgers could have a trickle-down effect to all the other offensive players on that team. So let's say Jordy Nelson is a guy that has really emerged this year, and he's been your top receiver. Well, if Matt Flynn is playing instead of Aaron Rodgers, what does that mean for Nelson? You know, I think in his case, I still think you could go ahead and start Jordy Nelson. But maybe not Donald Driver, maybe not James Jones. So there could be a trickle-down effect there. And the same can certainly be said for Tom Brady. We'll know Patriots-Bills is at 1 o'clock. As are, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 1 o'clock games and 6 4 o'clock games. And then, of course, Dallas and the Giants at 8:20. So, now, Dallas and the Giants, you know, that game means a ton for both teams, obviously. It means everything. And nothing that happens between 1 and 8 o'clock on Sunday can have a bearing on the Dallas Giants game. So everybody in that game is set. But how important is it going to be at 11:30 Eastern on Sunday when inactives come out? You know, 11:30 here at Gillette Stadium, if you're a fantasy owner in a big game and Tom Brady has been your quarterback, you are sweating out your New Year's Eve parties because you need to know if Tom Brady is going to be playing for the Patriots. And, you know, I'm not sure what to think on this right now because we see definitively now there's a left shoulder injury. I, for one, think if there's any injury of any kind, it's not worth it to put Brady out there. Now, we've seen Bill Belichick and the Pats go in many different directions when it comes to, you know, these kind of scenarios. And the Patriots do have something to play for. Let's not forget. They're not locked into a seed. It's one or two. They could still lose to the Bills. And if Baltimore and Pittsburgh both lose, the Patriots are number one. If Brian Hoyer plays this game for the Patriots, they could still win. It's not like they're giving up if Brian Hoyer plays. But, you know, Tom Brady's Tom Brady. Brian Hoyer's Brian Hoyer. But as it pertains to fantasy, you know, if Brady doesn't play, hey, same situation as Rodgers. You better be protected with a good backup. But what about Wes Welker? What about Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, Deion Branch? What about the running game? You know, we've seen Brian Hoyer in flashes, but unlike Matt, you know, Matt Flynn played in a meaningful, he played a full game in a meaningful game that the Packers were really fighting for last year. We haven't seen Brian Hoyer get that chance other than some mop-up duty and preseason. So the question of what does Brian Hoyer provide to the Patriots if he's actually playing in this game on Sunday, as it pertains to Wes Welker fantasy-wise, Gronkowski fantasy-wise, Aaron Hernandez fantasy-wise, these are important questions for you this week. And here's how I feel about that. I think if Brian Hoyer plays, the Patriots' game plan will stay the same. They will still take whatever the approach is that they're taking against the Bills with Tom Brady would be the same with Brian Hoyer. If that means we are going to end up throwing the ball twice as often as we run it, then so be it. Brian Hoyer is going to throw the ball. I think Wes Welker would still have a lot of targets. But is Brian Hoyer going to be as on point as Brady? Probably not.
I think you're going to see more running if Hoyer plays on.
Well, but I don't know that I agree with that. Or if we do see more running, I think it's because that would be their game plan either way. They need to get Ridley a little more confidence in big, in, you know, in some big spots. They need to get Ben Jarvis Green Ellis going. And maybe they feel that's where Buffalo's vulnerable.
I mean, they just signed a fullback, so you have to think, you know, maybe this is a week where they give Ridley 20 carries.
Yep, and maybe specifically inside the 10, inside the 5. And so maybe Hoyer is able to carve up the Bills down the middle of the field, over the middle, and Wes Welker gets 8 catches for 95 yards. But the touchdowns are going to be, you know, short runs that are aided by Lusaka Polite as a fullback. That could very well be. You know, I think Rob Gronkowski, this is what I felt last week when I saw that Matt Light was going to be out. I thought Rob Gronkowski was maybe going to be utilized less in the passing game because they'd need him more in run blocking because Nate Solder wouldn't be available as a third tight end. Well, Gronkowski had what was for him a mediocre statistical game. It was still one of the best for a tight end last week, but you know, that could have an effect as well. So, you know, I think Wes Welker still gets good numbers if Brian Hoyer is playing instead of Tom Brady. I think maybe the tight ends are the ones that could see a bit of a drop-off. You know, it might be tougher to expect a true Rob Gronkowski outing if it is Brian Hoyer instead of Tom Brady out there. So Patriots and Packers, they are two of the best offenses in the league, and we may not see either one of their quarterbacks going on Sunday. This is the Fantasy Lowdown. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. If you expected to tune in and hear Pete Shepard, he's not here today. I am here for an hour, as I always am with him, but it's just me solo as of right now. You can still email us, webradio@patriots.com. I always like to go to rotoworld.com as one of my sources for some fantasy news, and Greg Rosenthal has a fairly interesting way to begin his rankings this week. He goes through each of the teams in the AFC and NFC that are in the playoffs and or fighting for a playoff berth, and gives his sort of quick-hit thoughts on what approach these teams are going to play. And he says for the Patriots, going all out to win and clinch the number one seed. Play everyone. Is his message to fantasy owners. Play Brady, play Gronkowski, Welker, Hernandez, the running backs, all of them. I'm not sure I agree. I'm not sure I agree fully on that. I do think they'd like the number one seed. But at what cost is really the question. At what cost? So, you know, others like the Texans, you know, they have nothing to play for, but Coach Gary Kubiak says they'll approach this game like any other. You know, you might have Arian Foster. You know, according to Kubiak there, it sounds like Foster would play the whole game, and Tate would get some time, but it would still be Foster. You know, I have a feeling they'll end up resting Foster a bit. He won't play a full game. And so Ben Tate might be a really good option this week for the Texans. And Texans hosting Tennessee. Tennessee desperate for a win, and they need a lot of help as well. So there's a lot of strategy at play fantasy-wise this week. There certainly is. Like I said before, like I said earlier, there is a reason why week 17 is seen as a poor week to have fantasy playoffs, because guys, players that fantasy owners are relying on from week 1 through week 16 just might not be in action there in week 17. So it will be interesting, but I do want to hear from you if you do have any questions pertaining to your league and to your roster this week. Webradio@patriots.com if you have any stardom or sit them questions.
And Bilo, I got an idea here.
What's your idea?
I know a lot of leagues are done.
Mm-hmm.
If you won a fantasy league, here's your open forum. Come on and gloat.
Definitely gloat. We like gloating.
Come on and celebrate with the Fantasy Lowdown. Give
yeah.
you help all year.
Yeah, especially if you got help from here. We want to know about that. If
well,
you got
where
some
else
help,
would you go for fantasy help?
Well, I like that, Matt. That's a great point. That's a great point. Where would you go? You wouldn't go anywhere else. You wouldn't go anywhere else. Other than right here on the Fantasy Lowdown. So yeah, we're always welcome to always willing to hear you gloat. That's certainly something you can do. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to get back to some more fantasy football talk, and we'll have some more Brady talk. All the above coming right up on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend.
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance to hit a B-low on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown. Brian Lowe here with you until 5 o'clock. No Pete Shepard today. Usually I join him, but it's all me today. Talking fantasy football, talking Patriots, talking Tom Brady. Talking whatever you want to talk about, you can email us at webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And just because Pete's not here, that doesn't necessarily mean we're not hearing from Poker Mike this week. Poker Mike.
How could I not get at you the final week here?
Well, I would hope. When I heard that Pete wasn't going to be here, my first thought was, it's not a package deal, is it?
No.
It's not Fred and Mike.
He missed a week, middle of the season.
I remember
no
that.
Way.
Yeah.
Beetle, I wait all week for this.
I figured.
But I have to tell you, I was obviously calling regardless, but Matt just mentioned having people call in to gloat about their championships.
Yeah.
I can actually fall into that category.
Well, congratulations.
So, yeah, finally got it done, B-Lo.
Woo-wee!
Giving you a golf clap in here in the studio.
It
good for you.
Good. It was good. I have to admit, it was destiny in this particular league. I beat some pretty tough opponents.
Well, good.
Just worked out. So where are you sitting?
Well, you know, I had a tough loss.
Oh God!
And that was a semifinal. The one league that I had that we were still alive, or that we go to week 17. It was as I expected. I have Drew Brees. My opponent had Aaron Rodgers,
yep.
And I knew it was going to come down to the Sunday night game and then the Monday night game. And you know, I was feeling really good about my team on Sunday. Actually, well, it started with Arian Foster in the Monday night game.
Yep.
Thursday night game. And just had some, you know, solid, not spectacular, but solid games.
Yep.
And we were going into the Sunday night game. I was ahead by something in the 20s, 20-something points. And I was going against Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson.
Yep.
And I had Drew Brees. So I felt, okay, 20-something lead. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, Brees and Rodgers, let's say they cancel each other out. Jordy Nelson to just kind of be limited.
Yes, well, I mean, that's reasonable.
That's reasonable. And sure enough, you know, Aaron Rodgers, for the first time in his career, throws 5 touchdown passes. 2 of them go to Jordy Nelson. So there's 7 touchdowns against me combined,
yeah.
And then all the yardage. So I go into the Monday night game down by 40.
Oh.
And Drew Brees, based on the settings in our league, had more than 40 points 3 times this year. So I knew that I had a chance. I mean, I certainly knew I had a chance. Drew Brees, more so than any other quarterback, and he got me 34.
Unbelievable.
He got me 34. So tough way to go, but as I drowned in my sorrows, there was not a single lineup decision that I made that I felt that I really regretted.
Right.
So what can you do? I played my guys. You know, the closest decision I had to do with Kevin Smith, and I played him, and it was fine.
Yeah, that's a good start.
You know, so it didn't work out in my favor. I was upset. I'm not devastated because I feel like I had a good team, and I ran into a juggernaut that night. But it's the way it goes.
Yeah, it does. But it's and you mentioned it earlier in the show, and I really just. It's been a long 16 weeks. It's frustrating that it's over, obviously.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, this whole week 17 thing, and this is kind of my input here this week, is just looking towards next season, and you're dealing with it right now because if you had won last week, you'd be playing in the championship game this week. This is a tough situation, and I think you're going to see, because both of my leagues ended last week, I think you're going to see commissioners and leagues putting this to a vote, whether or not to end it in week 16, because I just don't think it's right. I don't think that, you know, all the hard work that's put in throughout the season to come to the final week of the season, and there's a lot of guys that you talked about, Aaron Rodgers. That is a perfect example,
yeah.
A guy that got you here. And we've been talking about it for the past couple of weeks, but, you know, fantasy commissioners out there listening, I just think – talk to the league. Talk to your league. It's a smarter decision, and it's just more fair to try to get that championship week. I'm actually surprised that you have a league below that ends in week 17.
Yeah, well, you know, it's I'm not the commissioner of the league. I don't agree with it either. I'll play along with whatever. I'm not going to make waves and say, cancel. You know, it's fun. I mean, everyone's in the same boat. The only thing is, you know, you look at some of the games this week. And you have some of the 4 o'clock games that by the time, you know, as of right now, teams need to play.
All right.
But come 4:15, for instance, Atlanta, at 4:15, Atlanta might have nothing to play for.
Yep.
You know, Detroit, Green Bay could make Atlanta secure in the number 6 spot. So you might be making your lineup decisions at 11, 12, 1 o'clock p.m., and you might say, well, Michael Turner, I'm obviously starting Michael Turner against Tampa Bay. This is tremendous. Well, by the time 4:15 comes around, Michael Turner's value could be minuscule because Atlanta could decide to rest him. They're playing next week on the road. Why push it with Michael Turner? So there's a lot of in one sense, you know, every team, everybody in a fantasy league is in the same boat. But it still comes down to, you know, your workhorses, the guys that carried you to the championship game, might not play, and it's one thing due to injury. That's just luck of the draw. You can't really predict that. But if it's because teams are intentionally resting a guy, it's too bad if you have to come down, if it has to come down to that. So
it is too bad. I mean, if you can, if you're still able to pick up guys, I mean, the Sunday night game you just talked about, Dallas and the Giants, pick everybody.
Oh boy,
literally, because these guys are going to be playing. And it actually, another point that I was going to bring up and kind of talking about next year and getting prepared for the draft and whatnot, and I kind of fell into the same trap. I didn't really have a bench. I focused on, you know, my starters, and yep. I obviously had good teams in both of my leagues. But if I was sitting in this position right now with no bench, and thankfully, I mean, what a just an injury-plagued year. I mean, there was teams that were literally just destroyed because of these injuries. If you did not do your job on draft day and draft at least a decent bench, you're not playing right now, obviously, in week 16, 17. So, you know, moving forward and looking at next season, I think I definitely am going to go into next year with a little bit different of a perspective. Number one being making sure that I have a decent bench, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think a big thing that hurt me this season, I know that I've mentioned it before, is my QB woes this year with Phillip Rivers. I wound up losing Schaub in another
league. Whoa. Pro Bowler Phillip Rivers?
Well, he wasn't a Pro Bowl.
I know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
but,
I do.
You know,
I do.
It's a frustrating situation that it's something that I'm going to kind of be geared towards. I have a question about a keeper, actually, in a second. But having those, if you look at the numbers, I'm obviously basing this upon my particular league and its settings. You know, the top eight fantasy contributors were quarterbacks. Obviously, you know, they're touching the ball on every down, obviously handing it off. But Aaron Rodgers put up 633 fantasy points in my league this year.
Yep.
All right, the number eight guy was Matt Ryan. He had 415.
Yeah.
Ray Rice was number nine, and he had 381 in my league. So we talk about fantasy being running back oriented, and I kind of feel that way. I like having just diesel running backs. We talked about having a flex position and wanting to being in a position to start three running backs in your starting lineup. But I really think it hurt me just not having that stud. I mean, I guess I try to consider Phillip Rivers a stud, but you know, we got a guy like Cam Newton. I actually had him on my team when I traded him away.
Mm-hmm.
He was the fourth, you know, top contributor out of these, out
Amazing,
of, you know,
huh?
Rodgers, Brees, Brady, and Newton.
Yeah.
So I have an auction league, and that's another thing I'd like to mention to leagues out there. The conventional snake draft is obviously the way a lot of leagues go, but if you can maybe talk to your league about it, an auction draft is just, it's just such a fair way to draft. I don't know if you have any auction leagues.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. It just it creates balanced teams, and you need to be knowledgeable. Obviously, if you have a league that's not really, you know, veterans will say it's a little bit harder. But an auction draft is the way to go. But I really believe that having that, if I can get my hands on a Rodgers or a Drew Brees next season, no matter what it costs me, I think I'm going to go for it. It just makes a difference.
You're right. I'm with you on the tide having turned from running back to quarterback. I mean, you're right. Running back. You know, in over the last decade, you look at running back, you look at drafts, and running backs go high.
The
first round, a first round with 12 teams, you might have 10 or 11 running backs.
Yep.
But that's not necessarily the way it should go right now. And part of that is it's such a passing league, and the quarterbacks that you mentioned are so valuable. But also, you know, running back injuries are so prevalent that you know, putting all your eggs in the basket of one running back is a little more risky than all your eggs in the basket of one quarterback.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm with you on going all out for a Rodgers, a Brees, a Brady. I mean, that's the number one tier. And then you've got the, you know, in my opinion, Newton is almost as valuable, but in a different way, gets a lot of the rushing yardage. Going after those guys is important. And you know, what you were talking about a little while ago about, you know, putting more emphasis on your bench during the draft is very important, but as you look at how an NFL season evolves, I think it's much more about doing a good job in free agency.
You're absolutely right.
And it's, I mean, both are important. You don't want to tank the draft as far as your bench is concerned. But, you know, I haven't done this, but if you take a look at top scorers, especially at the running back position, got, you know, DeMarco Murray, for instance. I mean, we're talking about guys. There's guys out there that were nowhere near the radar screen on draft day, but you make a few shrewd moves. You know, speaking of Dallas, I know you picked up Laurent Robinson.
Big,
that was big for you. So the draft and free agency is so important as the season goes on.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. I think there was a lot of guys this year that just they kind of evolved. You know, a guy like Percy Harvin, a guy like Victor Cruz, AJ Green.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's awesome to see it because we have, and especially if you're looking at like a snake draft, we could pretty much rattle off the top 20 guys and pretty much, you know, 1 through 20 of how they're going to go. Things are kind of changing now, and even with the auction league and the values of some of these players, you know, we didn't even talk about Reggie Bush the first however many weeks of the season.
Right.
And he is, I mean, he's right there, top 10 at least.
Yep.
So going into next season, he's a guy, is he a keeper? You know, depending on what your choices are, he might be, but that's a guy that's going to go high in the draft. I know, Darren Sproles, he's obviously gotten a lot of love, but, you know, this is a top 5 or 6 back here points-wise. I know he only ran for 560 yards, but he's so valuable.
Yep.
So with that said, I have a question for you.
Go for it.
I know we're a ways away from having to worry about keepers, and this is a great position to be in, but, you know, obviously, if you haven't, let's say you have an Aaron Rodgers, and you have a Ray Rice, which way do you go? I'm not in that position. My question was, I have McCoy and Ray Rice. I'm obviously keeping one of them, and I've been for the past 3 or 4 days, I've been looking at the numbers, and they both put up staggering numbers, and I just literally, it's going to have to be a last minute decision.
Yeah.
Which way do you go, Ray Rice or LeSean McCoy?
I probably lean extremely slightly to McCoy.
I agree.
But that's a close one because, you know, both guys are pretty good in the passing game as well. They get some attention there. And, you know, you think about the dynamics of the offense. I just think Philly is a more well-rounded offense, in which case, you know, teams don't have to focus. And teams against Baltimore, you know, Ray Rice is the guy you have to focus on.
Right.
With Philly, I mean, Macklin, DeSean Jackson, I mean, those are – two dynamic guys that, I mean, maybe Baltimore's got that now in Torrey Smith.
Right.
Now, a lot still is to play out, you know, before we get into the draft next year. But right now, I would say McCoy slightly over Rice for a keeper.
And it is.
But it's close. You can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong.
It's a good problem to have, obviously.
Sure is.
I mean, it's going to be interesting. Yeah. And again, you know, just looking forward, you know, next year, just, you know, hopefully getting, I mean, God knows what's going to happen with Peterson. What a vicious injury he just suffered from. You know, that's going to change, you know, some people's input on, you know, the rankings of these guys.
No question.
But, you know, it's good to see, you know, a guy like Helu and some of the other guys that we talked about. And it's nice to see these guys coming around, and it just makes for good football and good fantasy football, reality football. And it's been a good year, B-Lo. I got no complaints over here. We've had a lot of fun.
Nor should you. You won it all.
Can't complain,
I mean,
my friend.
You can't get much better than that. And, no, you hit it. You hit a lot of points every week. You definitely have a good beat on how to make a fantasy football team tick. And,
it's taking me a decade, Brian.
It's taking
me about
well,
a decade.
Listen,
I'm coming around.
I might be on. I might have a microphone in front of me, but it does not mean that I have all the answers. Believe me. But
no,
it has been great. Certainly getting your perspective every week.
A lot of good feedback. We've had a lot of people listening. I check in with a lot of people, and it's been really good. So
good.
Hopefully, I'll talk Mr. Shepard into, you know, creating a little dream team here.
That's where I'll know that I really had an impact on the world of fantasy football. If we can get Pete Shepard involved.
Yeah, it's coming.
Then we'll know.
All right, I'm signing off. Poker Mike.
All right, Mike. Thank you very much.
Have a happy New Year.
Happy New Year to
Matt,
you,
Kevin.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
We'll catch up with you on the flip side.
You got it.
All right,
Poker Mike.
My man.
Poker Mike joins us every week with Pete Shepard, and definitely good having him on. Webradio@patriots.com. You can email us. You can also call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, here on the Fantasy Lowdown. We do go to the email inbox right now. This one is from Higgins in Hopkinton. Hey, guys, you've carried me this far. I'm in the final game of the Super Bowl. I'm up by 1 point on my opponent and would have creamed him except for losing McCoy and Peterson to injuries. Ooh, tough break. This is looking like a tough battle this week, and I need advice more than ever. It's a strange week, so I put my concerns down for each choice. Number one, running backs, pick 3. Khalil Bell, and these are the comments from Higgins here. Khalil Bell, is Barber coming back? Felix Jones, will play hard, but scored only once this year. Kevin Smith, may not play much. LeSean McCoy, questionable. And Toby Gerhart, Vikings may experiment with new backs. They just signed another this week.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Well, I'm not. But here's what I will say. LeSean McCoy, I think, is going to play. I think he's going to play a lot, and I think he's going to play well. He's got a chance at the running back title, or the rushing title for this week. And this game, Philly-Washington, it's obviously not meaningful as far as the playoffs go for either team. But I don't think there's going to be anything holding back McCoy. I mean, he did return to practice Thursday, limited with an ankle. I think he plays. I think he does well. So I would say you go with him. Then the other ones, I lean toward Felix Jones. It's shaky because I don't love him, but this game with Dallas and New York, I really think it's going to be a high scoring. I think the winning team is going to be in the 40s. I think it's going to be someone in the 40s to someone in the 30s, and I'd go with Felix Jones, and then I would go Khalil Bell. It does not look like Barber, if Marion Barber does play, it doesn't look like he'll play much. So if you're starting three there, I would go McCoy, Khalil Bell, and Felix Jones.
That day on, if I was going somewhere, I was running.
There you go. Those are your running backs. They're going to run, Matt. They're going to run. Wide receiver choices, pick two. Now, these are some tough choices here. Jeremy Maclin, will he go 100%? Roddy White, will he get much playtime? Malcolm Floyd, does Oakland have a shutdown corner? A.J. Green, injured and playing Baltimore. You've got some really good choices there. Maclin, will he go 100%? I'd be hesitant on him. I would definitely be hesitant on him. Roddy White, I think you have to start him. Like we've been talking about, Atlanta does have a 4:15 game. There's some risk involved there because by 4:15 they might not have much to play for. But, yeah, I think if Roddy White plays half the game against Tampa Bay, he's going to score and he's going to have good number of yardage. That's the thing about Atlanta. Even if they don't have to play, even if they don't have anything to play for, I don't see them sitting everybody for the whole game, but if Matt Ryan and Michael Turner and Roddy White and Julio Jones play even half the game, I think that you could extrapolate that into what a full game would be, I think. So I think you definitely go Roddy White. Malcolm Floyd against Oakland is an interesting case. I think you play him. I'm hesitant on A.J. Green. He got shut out against Baltimore the first time they played. Both teams are playing for a lot right now, and I just don't feel comfortable with A.J. Green in that spot. So I think I'd go Roddy White and Malcolm Floyd with your wide receivers. Now, which defense? I'm facing the 49ers, D, so I need a big showing from mine. Falcons against Tampa Bay, Vikings against the Bears, Steelers at the Browns, Seahawks at Arizona, or any other sleeper that can help me compete against the Niners D. Well, Higgins, don't look at it as I'm competing against the Niners D. I don't know what the full lineup is for your opponent. You're not competing against the Niners D. Your opponent, come championship week, is probably going to have some good players, and you'll consider the 49ers D as one of his or her players. I wouldn't look at it as you need a defense to match up, but you've got some good options here. Falcons against Tampa Bay, that's a great option in my eyes. Tampa Bay, you don't agree?
Just based on what their defense has done so far this year, and they're dinged up a little bit in the back end, I can see Josh Freeman going for a pretty decent day.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's a no-brainer to go with Pittsburgh on this one.
Well, yeah. I mean, as I get down to these, I mean, you're talking about the Steelers, who have one of the best defenses in the league, going against the Browns. So when in doubt, take the better defense of these. So I do agree with you there. I think the Falcons would be a decent play. I think Tampa Bay is a miserable team going nowhere. The coach is probably going to get fired, and I see them having given up. They've given up something like 30-plus points in six of their last seven games, something like that. I don't see them coming alive this week. But I do agree with you. Steelers at the Browns would probably be number one. Minnesota against the Bears. Yeah, the Bears have a putrid offense, but I don't like Minnesota's D. And then Seahawks at Arizona, I'd probably stay away from that game. I could see Beanie Wells having a good close out to the season. So I would go with the Steelers there. So Higgins, thank you for your email today, and thank you for your email each and every week. Higgins was really wanted to make sure we got that email in, and we did. Next up, we've got, this is Lucas. Hello, B-Lo and Matt. Bummer, B-Lo. You you could have invited Lindsay. Well, I guess I could have, but, you know, we got a lot of stuff to churn out over in Patriots Today world, so, you know, we need someone to hold down the fort for an hour. I want to congratulate you for your advice. I've won the championship. I have the best regular season record, the most points scored with 1,379.
Woo-wee!
I feel pretty good since it's the first time I played fantasy, and it took me 3 weeks to really understand the game completely. I feel pretty good about my draft. In the first, I picked up Brady, and we were 2 out of 10, picked up a quarterback in round 1. All the others drafted running backs, and man, were the top running backs a real frustration this year. I may be seen as a homer, but then I drafted Welker in round 2 and Gronk in round 3. I'd like to know, since I was pretty fortunate to sign up good running backs in free agency, usually which round do you draft running backs for next year's draft? Speaking about my case, I'm considering drafting only Sproles in next year's draft. I just don't want to pass on wide receivers, tight ends, and a good backup QB option. Well, first of all, Lucas, thank you for believing in me here at the Fantasy Lowdown. Thank you. I'm happy you won your title. Congratulations for entering fantasy football in the first place. And that's really great that you got your championship. Now, Brady round 1, Welker round 2, Gronk round 3. You really, really hit home runs all three there. Gronk round 3 was so early. I got Gronk, I think, in like round 10 in one of my leagues. And he turned out to have the best season a tight end has really ever had. So you lucked out. Being a homer turned out to be a pretty solid play for you.
If it's a keeper league, my God, keep him, because
if it's a
next
keeper
year,
league,
he's going to be, in some circles, a first-round pick.
Yeah, I have Gronkowski in one of my in a league that I do have with keepers, and you can keep up to 3. I have LeSean McCoy, and I have Rob Gronkowski as my slam-dunk keepers. I'm very excited about that for next year. So, you know, your question here, Lucas, about which round do you draft running backs for next year's draft, you know, it's not a cut-and-dried answer. We were just talking with Poker Mike about that and the fact that quarterbacks, it's really a quarterback-driven league. Go all out. I mean, if you have a top pick in next year's draft, if you have a top 3 pick, take a quarterback. Take Rodgers, take Breeze, take Brady. But, you know, beyond that, if you pick 10th in a league and Breeze, Rodgers, Brady, say Cam Newton, and maybe one or two other guys once we get to that point next year, you know, maybe it's Vic, maybe it's Matt Ryan, maybe it's Romo, maybe it's Stafford. Guys
Peyton
are seeing it.
And
Peyton Manning coming back. You know, there could be a run on quarterbacks early. You know, so if you pick, say, 10th in your league, and of the first 9 picks, 5 of them are quarterbacks, which is not unheard of or not out of the realm of possibility, you might have a chance at one of the top running backs. You know, maybe a Ray Rice or a LeSean McCoy will be there. Or maybe you'll have the chance at the number 1 wide receiver like Calvin Johnson or, you know, Andre Johnson. So you can't just go into a draft saying, I am taking a running back in the first round, or I will not take a quarterback in the first round. You can't do that. But what really makes or breaks a fantasy league, believe it or not, is not round 1 or even round 2. It's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's, you know, making sure that, you know, your second running back is a capable guy, or your backup quarterback, or that you have depth at wide receiver because, you know, maybe you missed out on the top tier or even the top 2 tiers of wide receivers. But you've got 5 wide receivers that are in that, you know, 18 to 26 range. And that could be important because you could play some matchups each week. So, you know, really the bottom line as you, you know, as you look ahead to the draft next year or any year, don't get too bogged down in I need to take a certain position early or I need to have 2 running backs in my first 3 rounds. I just don't think it makes sense because a lot of it depends on where you're drafting and certainly a lot of it depends on where other players are being drafted, and it really does depend on depth. So bottom line there, Lucas, great job. Congratulations. I'm happy you tuned in. And really just think about depth next year. And Darren Sproles would be a good guy to take, no question about it. Here in the Fantasy Lowdown, this is Brian Lowe, Pete Shepard, not on hand today. We've got a couple more minutes. We do have a couple more minutes to get your emails at webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. It has been a phenomenal year. You know, we've done the Fantasy Lowdown now for 4 seasons here on patriots.com. The first three seasons, it was just me here in the studio taking phone calls, taking emails, and really enjoyed this year having Pete Shepard here hosting the show and really running things. And, you know, I truly thank him. I felt bad when I found out he wasn't going to be here today, because I do thank him for allowing me to kind of be the voice of fantasy football here. It's not necessarily deserved, but Pete, because he is not a fantasy football guy, I think we're getting him on that train, though. But because he's not a fantasy football guy, he gave me the forum to, you know, express my thoughts on fantasy football questions. And we certainly got his take as well on a lot of subjects and talked some football. So it certainly was enjoyable. But this will be the last edition of the Fantasy Lowdown for this season. Certainly the Patriots are moving on in the playoffs. We know that. And so the full array of Patriots.com radio will continue certainly every day as long as the Patriots are going on. But, you know, the fantasy season does not move on. So we are wrapping up the Fantasy Lowdown here today. So certainly have to thank Kevin Collins and Matt LaPan, who have been our producers here. Matt taking the reins today. We don't have to get into why Kevin's not here, but, you know, Matt is doing a great job. Although I got to imagine maybe that's been discussed. I don't know, but we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about that. But Matt doing a great job. Kevin doing a great job all season. And, again, Pete Shepard certainly was phenomenal to work with all this season. So I hope everybody had a, if not a successful fantasy football season, I hope an enjoyable one. I hope you learned some lessons along the way, and I hope we were able to help you out along the way as well. Hey, the 2012 season is only 8 months away. Drafts will be coming up in about 8 months. Time's going to fly by, isn't it, Matt? I think time is going to fly by. In the meantime, we've got the Patriots postseason to look forward to and fantasy football 2012. Thank you very much. That's going to wrap it up on the Fantasy Lowdown.
It's amazing, so amazing.